Daith da, how we doing? Welcome to podcast number 16. And before I start, I'd like to wish you all a happy new year, or as we say down here in Cornwall, blethyn oeth da. It's been quite a manic week again this week, really. The weeks are always busy, but it was even worse being only a four-day week. Plus the fact also that I've now started me marathon training in earnest. It didn't really start too well for me or James. He was playing with his boys last week, scat his head, and he had a whiplash injury. And myself, we went bray ill on New Year's Day, and I was coming down. I had Augie on a lead, and the doggie did pull me, and I twisted my ankle heller, really. So it's been sore all week. But I have managed to do a couple of gentle runs. 3 mile one on Tuesday, 4 mile last night. I was meant to go out tonight, but I've run out of time. I've just had my hair cut. I always try to have my hair cut twice a year, whether I need it or not. So I'm going to have to do a little 3 mile run tomorrow and hopefully 5 miles on Sunday. But the ankle is definitely feeling better as each day goes on. We had a pretty relaxed Christmas, really. I think the first bit of excitement come just as we was getting ready to go bed on Christmas Day, and I had a phone call, and the phone started messages pinging coming in, and this was to say that there was two horses that had broke loose, and they was on the grass verge there by Eglisel Church, just down the road from us. And people was asking, firstly, was it our horses, and if not, did we know whose twas? So 2 hours, but we rung our neighbour Claire, and she got on the phone to Mary whose horses it was. And what happened then, me, Beth and Mabon went over along with Claire and Steve to try and round them up. And we successfully got them across the road back between the field and the rugby club. And I can quite imagine, while I'm talking here now, you conjuring the idea in your head that I was some sort of John Wayne figure out of True Grit or something, and I was going round lassoing the horses. But the truth was, really, me and Steve just stood up talking, and we left the women to it. Apparently the horses hadn't been broken in, so we couldn't put a bridle on them, but we got them back there close to the entrance of the field, and then Meddy turned up, and he said leave it to him, he would secure them in the field for the night and get everything sorted viddy in the morning. So yeah, the rest of us, we then headed home to bed, and all was well until the next morning. And 'twas fairly early, and me phone started pinging again. And yep, you've guessed it, the horses had got out again, and this time there was reports they was running round on the cricket pitch just along the road from us. So again, on the phone to Claire, and she rung Meddy and got them rounded up again. So yeah, this escapade with the horses made me think back to all the times that we've been involved with horses on funerals over the years. I tried looking back and asked a few people if they could remember when they were younger, was there many horse-drawn hearses in our area, but didn't really get very far. Obviously, I said before that Grampy said up at Withiel, the men would actually carry the coffin on the poles themselves in relay. And if you look on our Facebook page, I did put a photo on, well, a few weeks ago now, maybe a bit longer, of a fantastic funeral procession going along Eglisel Road, just by where the putting green used to be back when we were kids. And it was a fantastic sight. It was a huge crowd. There was a policeman walking beside. But it seemed like a horse-drawn hearse, but there was no horse there. And you had two kind of rows of men, and it seemed like they were pulling the carriage, very much like the sailors were with the gun carriage for the Queen's funeral last year. Now, whether that's what it was, that's definitely what it looked like. But I can't find much history of horses being used in earlier years in this area. Ourselves, we've had horses used on quite a number of funerals. Quite often, the person that's passed away had their own horses and they've been used, and perhaps some people have adapted a cart so that we've put the coffin on the cart behind. Some of them have decorated the cart and that's worked quite good. Or else we have had a proper Vidi horse-drawn hearse brought in. I remember one time at Roche where we had the horse and cart, and we was in church, then we was heading up to the cemetery, and there's some classic photos. Twas back when I had me long blonde streaked hair, I always remember that, and there's me, father and the vicar walking in a row, and the horse is coming behind with the cart and that. And what it doesn't show is, obviously being a photo, is the speed that our legs was moving at the time. Obviously, we thought we was going at a decent pace, but all the time you could feel the breath of the horse breathing down your neck. So we'd walk a bit quicker and we wouldn't get away from him. We'd walk a bit quicker again. And I think the photos do show quite how close the horse was to us at the time. I have to admit, I do love the sight of the black Frisian horses, say perhaps a team of four with a hearse behind. Tis a lovely sight, but I've been told that they ain't much good down here in Cornwall, really. As a lot of you will know, we've got a lot of interesting, shall I say, hills down here, quite steep ones. And apparently the Frisians, because of their build and the way their neck is and that, ain't very good for pulling up hill. So we use our mate, dear old Dave Jones, down Druth way there. And he comes, he's got a pair of Cornish cobs, and they can handle pretty much any hill that you throw at them. I say Redruth, but actually I don't know if he's from Camborne. I always get confused. I always say to Phil Trevina, as far as I'm concerned, Redruth and Camborne's the same place, and he never seems to agree with me on that, but they're definitely from down that way anyway. So on the day of the funeral, if it is just a short way to travel and it's nice and flat, I will walk in front of the horses. But if it's a longer journey, then sometimes we have to take our hearse and just go that little bit ahead, just to make sure we don't meet a car coming the other way. There's two reasons for this, really. Obviously, one, the car would have to reverse back if he did meet us. But also, two, I said the cobs can pull up hill no problem, but he can't stop halfway and then start again. Once he start going up that hill, he got to keep going. So we have to make sure that if there is a car coming the other way, we get him to pull over so that the horses have a nice free journey right the way through. I think a funeral where this was the case that sticks in me mind was in Bodmin a few years ago. And we had to leave from the house, and 'twas down the bottom of the hill. And about two-thirds of the way up the hill was the junction with the main road. And Dave said to me, if you go on ahead a little bit, he said, I've got to get up a decent speed. He said, I won't be trotting, but he said, I've got to get a nice little rhythm with the horses. But once we get to that junction, he said, I need you to have stopped the traffic, because he said, I can't stop. I got to keep going. So I said, yep, no problem. So I started walking at a fairly brisk pace, and I thought I was going at a decent speed, to be honest. But what happened next? Well, it frightened the life out of me. I reckon I was about halfway up the hill, and then all of a sudden on my right-hand side, the groom that had come with Dave on the day, he shot past me. He was sprinting up the hill. And if it weren't for the fact that he was the wrong colour and that this chap had a broad Redruth Camborne accent, I would have sworn to his Linford Christie. He was flying. I thought, that's quite impressive, that is. And it did take a second or two for me to think, hang on a minute, does this mean I ain't going quick enough? And I looked behind, and sure enough, the horses was a bit closer than I thought they was going to be. So obviously I'm thinking, well, I got to still look a bit funereal here, really. I can't go running too. So I started power walking. My little legs was pretty going, and got up to the junction in time, but Meddy already stopped the traffic one way. So we stopped the traffic, and Dave come on through with the cortege behind. That was brilliant. But the trouble was, back then, I wasn't as fit as I am now, because I didn't really start running or cycling until I was in my early 50s. My little heart was pounding, and I still had then to walk in front of the funeral all the way to the church. And I don't think it was till I got over to Uncle Rob's butcher shop there that me heart had calmed down again. But say, everything went fine, and all was well on the day. But that's one occasion that will definitely stick in my mind. And although I was looking quite funereal on the outside, on the inside, I was feeling like a windbroken snake. So there we go. But I do love it when we have the horses on. We do have other sorts of hearses as well, like the motorbikes and our VW van and that. And perhaps that's something I'll save for another podcast. So I think the only other bit of excitement we had over the Christmas period was last weekend when we went out Paul's F and went into the sea, did a bit of bodyboarding. So Beth wanted to go for an hour's walk first, so I went into the sea and then she joined me for the second hour and she did a bit of bodyboarding. And then just as we was going out, she said that she wanted to just get out of her wetsuit and just do a cold swim. Well, that was okay, but I'll say we was about knee-deep in water. I had me bodyboard in one hand, so then she gave me the bodyboard in the other hand, and I, lack of concentration, I thought she'd put the key round me neck, but she hadn't, so I just started walking back to the shore, and I turned round after about 10 paces. I said, "Here, where's the key?" And she said, "I'll give it to you." And she put it in my hand. Well, of course, I let the blooming thing fall in the water. So I traipsed back. So we'm looking there for a good 10, 15 minutes. Couldn't find the blimmin' key anywhere. So she went on to the beach and she grabbed the first couple she could find and borrowed their phone and rung home. And luckily Lily was in. So Lil's come down to Paul's F with the spare key. Now, this was a bit of a relief, really, because I thought, Christ, we could be stranded down here tonight. We might have to go and see Deb Mahoney and Lee and see if they'll take us in for the night. We might have to top and tail with them. But luckily, we were saved. So we went and we sat by the entrance there to the car park there on the beach. And, well, we were starting a bit cold as the time was going on. I think we was rumped up there like a pair of winards, really. And then our old mate, Dave Witts, come along with his dog. So we had a good old yarn there with Dave for quite a while, really. And that did help pass the time until Lil's arrived with the spare key. So if you're down Paul's F at all over the next week or two, and you see a little shiny object in the seabed there, or even a dolphin going by with a lanyard round his neck, that in his key, tis mine. So if you find him, that would be proper. And one thing before I go, I must thank everyone who said such lovely comments about Mother on the podcast last week. It seemed to go down really well. And I got to thank William Matthews. He did share a photograph, which I've put on my Facebook page tonight, of Outlands, one of the places where Mother lived when she was younger. I think it was from the Thrift Gallery, and he shared it with me, so I've put it on my Facebook page tonight, and I showed Mother. She was over the moon with that. And of course, as the week had gone on, she remembered other places where she lived when she was young, and the latest one is Pendavy over at Slade's Bridge. Now, for me, this is a bit more worrying because, as I mentioned last week, I could well be related to Andrew Eddy. Well, of course, Pendavy's just up the hill from me, all tied up with the Eddies, and this is getting a bit worrying now. And I know that Andrew is old enough to be my father, but thankfully, I think I do look like father. The resemblance, I can remember our dear friend from Outslades, the legend that was Jack Steer. He had a fantastic saying, but like a lot of Jack's sayings, I better not say it on here today, but I think I'm going to have to stop digging now because this could end up quite worrying. And so with that, I think I'd better leave it for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I'll try and think of something to say next week. But in the meantime, have a good week. Do Guinness. Wish you well.